beautiful day that God has blessed us with, that we could come together in a fashion like this to be able to worship Him in spirit and truth. It's always good to be with you, and it's always an encouragement to see each and every one of you. We have several visitors with us this morning. We're thankful that you're here. We hope that you'll come back and be with us at every opportunity you have. Missed being away last week, and we missed you, and you were in our thoughts, and we were glad to be able to have a safe trip to the preacher training program and then back again. And so you were missed, and I appreciate those that filled in for me for doing that. It definitely shouldn't go without being said how thankful and what an encouragement that Ethan Hayes and Brandon Mills has been to me this week. I wish you could have been there to see the hard work that they put into the program and the excitement, the zeal, and the enthusiasm that they had as they went with me to learn how to do the work of an evangelist. And it's not a vacation, so lest anyone says, well, they were just in Tennessee for a vacation, ask one of them if it was a vacation. I think you come back with a mind full of knowledge and sleep deprivation to go along with it. But they did very well. They got there on Monday evening and then were there first thing on Tuesday for the classes. And I think it was Tuesday morning or maybe Tuesday afternoon that they were on their feet doing talking. And then Wednesday they participated in the Bible class that went out live on the internet. They took a point just like all the rest of the men did. On Thursday, they continued to speak, and then on Friday, they continued to speak, and they spoke from the books of 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus and on some other topics. So you ought to be proud of them, because not many teenagers will give up a week of their summer vacation to go and participate in a program like that, and I appreciate both of them very much. And we did have some time, a little bit of time, for some things that were comical, and so we appreciate them very much. I want you to take your Bibles out and follow along with me and make sure that what I say this morning is in harmony with the Word of God. We cannot go wrong if we will base every single thing that we believe, teach, practice, obey, and share with others on a what saith the Scriptures. The Bible needs to be the basis for every single thing that we do in this life. And so I don't want you to take my word for anything that I say. I may miss the mark. I won't do that on purpose, but I'm a man that's subject to error, and so you don't take something that I say to be the truth simply because I said it, but you make sure that what you believe is in harmony with the Word of God. I ask for the scripture reading to come from the book of Philippians chapter 3, verses 3 through 15, because of some statements that Paul made as he is saying that he did not count himself to have already apprehended. But he said, this one thing I do, forgetting those things which were behind and going toward, reaching forth unto those things which are before. He said, I press toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And then in verse 15, he said, let us therefore, as many be as be perfect, be thus minded. And if anything be ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. And so for just a little while this morning, I want us to think about the statement, I'm going that way. I don't think that it's in this particular hymn book that we use, but I know that it's in Sacred Selections for the Church, a very popular book that brethren have used for I don't know how many years. But there's a song that bears this title in that hymn book, I'm Going That Way. Have you heard it before? It's a song that is just packed with meaning. As we think about it, we admonish one another, we encourage one another that I'm going that way. It's easy to lose sight of that. It's easy to get bogged down with the cares and the struggles and the burdens of life that we really forget about the fact that I'm going that way. That I am pressing toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. That I want heaven to be my eternal home. And we busy ourselves doing all sorts of things. And we just run out of time, as we like to say from time to time. I just don't have the time to do that. I just don't have the time to give to God the way that I need to. Well, could it be the case that we have forgotten about where we hope to go when this life is over? Have we lost sight of the fact that I'm going that way? I want us to think about that for just a little while this morning and think about each one of these points and how that when these things happen to us, we need to remind ourselves, I'm going that way, lest we get distracted and lose heaven as our eternal home. The first one that I want to share with you is we need to exclaim, I'm going that way when our enemies are increased. How many of us have enemies? Maybe the case that we have some individuals who are against us. Now, we shouldn't set out hoping to make enemies. I hope that I'm among a group of people this morning who does not like to have enemies and will try in every way that we can to not have enemies along the way. But when our enemies increase, we need to remind ourselves, I'm going that way. I cannot help but to think about the third psalm. And I invite you to turn there with me as we read that psalm. It's really one of my favorite psalms, and it has so much meaning as David made a statement early on in this psalm. In fact, the very first verse. Notice what he said, Psalm 3. Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Now, we ought to stop right there and draw our attention to the fact that he's not asking a question. He's not saying, Lord, how is it that there's so many people against me? He's making a statement. He's saying, Lord, how are they increased that trouble me? Many are they that rise up against me. Have you ever felt like that? The harder I try, the more people it seems that are trying to drag me down and to really hinder me from doing what God would have me to do. We can probably all recall times we felt like that. Notice verse 2. Many there be which say of my soul, there is no help for him in God. What's David saying? David is saying that there's individuals who will say there's no help for that David. There's no hope for him. There's no help for that man. Have you heard individuals exclaim, you know what? If Donnie Oliver can go to heaven, anybody can. I use myself for an example. Has someone said that about you? There's no help for so-and-so. There's no hope for him. Now, don't give them the precedence to be able to say that. But I point that out to you to remind you that the harder you try, the harder the devil is going to try. And it may just very well be the point, the fact, that your enemies are going to increase. But thou, Lord, verse 3, art a shield for me, my glory and the lifter up of my head. I cried unto the Lord with my voice, and he heard me out of his holy hill. I laid me down and slept. I'll wait for the Lord. Sustain me. I will not be afraid. Now, folks, God was David's help. God was David's shield. David acknowledged that the reason that I'm here today is because God has sustained me even in spite of the fact that I have enemies. Even in spite of the fact that they are increased against me. And then he says, I will not be afraid, verse 6, of thousands of people that have set themselves against me round about. What about you? Would you be afraid? Would you be ready to just throw your hands up in despair and throw your hands up in defeat and say, I'm not going to live for God any longer? Let me tell you something. Even though this whole community may band together and be against you, you understand where your help is at and where your strength and your resolve is. Arise, O Lord, save me, O my God, for Thou hast smit my enemies upon the cheekbone. Thou hast broken the teeth of the ungodly. Salvation belongeth unto the Lord. Thy blessing is upon thy people. And so, when your enemies are increased, remind yourself, be that as it may, I'm going that way. But there's another one I want you to think about. And that is you need to be able to exclaim when persecution comes, I'm going that way. How many of us have suffered persecution? Someone says, well, I read in the Bible about these individuals in the Old Testament, what they went through. And I read in the New Testament about what individuals went through, like Stephen and like some of the others and the apostles in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and 2 Corinthians chapter 11, when the apostle Paul catalogs the things that he went through. Think about that. He says in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 that they were made as a spectacle unto the world. Sometimes individuals will not count you any, give you any more regard than that upon which you walk. Think that you're good for nothing. But you're something in the eyes of God. And you need to be reminded about that. Made in the image of God. Everyone is on the top side of God's green earth. Everyone from Adam and Eve to the last one that will be born is created in the image of God. And we may suffer persecution. I turn on the TV and it just gets old hearing of all the things that are coming upon people today and the individuals who rise against Christianity. And I understand how sometimes people will lay claim to Christianity when they have no business laying claim to it. But think about that. People who believe in this book believe that there is a God in heaven and that the God in heaven is the God that is revealed in this book. Persecuted. I worry about what the direction that our country is headed. I worry about what my son will have to grow up in. What type of world is going to be handed to them if God is long-suffering and allows it to continue that long? It may be that they suffer persecutions that we haven't suffered, or at least the like of which we have not had to suffer. And so I'm reminded about what the Lord said in Matthew chapter 5. When He's given this discourse that spans three chapters in the book of Matthew, Matthew chapters 5, 6, and 7, the Sermon on the Mount. And He says in Matthew 5, verse 10 beginning, "Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Now the Lord's not saying, "Blessed are you when you are persecuted because you did something you shouldn't have been doing." But blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for keeping the commands of God. Remember, the commandments of God are righteousness, the psalmist would declare. "Blessed are you when men shall revile you and persecute you, and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake." Now notice verse 12. "Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." We may have a difficult time. We may have individuals upon whose door we knock to try to invite them to service. In all genuineness and sincerity, because we're concerned about the salvation of their soul, and have the door slammed in our face. Or have individuals speak evil about us, or do any number of things like the Bible often will mention, like Luke chapter 6 and verse 22. "Blessed are you when men shall hate you." Have you ever been hated before? Have you? "When men shall hate you, and when they shall separate you from their company, and shall reproach you and cast out your name as evil for the Son of Man's sake." You know, it may be that a lot of your co-workers, oh, they just welcome you when you first get hired on, and they are so thankful that you are there. And then just a little bit of time goes on, and it's not before long when they begin to see where you stand on religious issues and what your conviction is, as it hopefully is based upon what the Word of God says, that they begin to do a little bit of separating from their company. They don't invite you to go to lunch with them anymore. They have what they call prayer meetings before they punch in the mornings. I know they used to do that where I worked at it. Early on, I had all sorts of invitations. "Donnie, come and be with us." And I would go, and they would ask me to lead in prayer, and I was happy to do that. And then it wasn't before long, after I had several conversations with some of them on religious things, I didn't get those invitations anymore. But that's okay, because the Lord said, "Blessed are you when men shall separate you from their company." That's going to happen. And what a joy it is that we can come together on a day like this, the first day of the week, among God's people, those of like precious faith who will welcome us to be with Him and be an encouragement to us because we share in the faith of God's Word, the doctrine of Christ. And so, don't throw your hands up in despair and quit when you're persecuted. 1 Peter chapter 4. Verses 12 through 16 talks about that. And he sums that thought up in verse 16 when he says, "Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, Let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on his behalf. So you rejoice when you're persecuted. You thank God for the opportunity to suffer, to suffer on the behalf of Christ like the apostles did. They were threatened, they were beaten, and they departed from the council rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer for the cause of Christ. And so when persecutions come, and they will come, yea, all those that live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution, Paul would write in the letter to the Philippians. When that happens to you, remind yourself, I'm going that way. But there's a third thing I want to point out to you, and that is the fact that you need to remind yourself, I'm going that way when the wicked prosper. When the wicked prosper, the wise man stated in Ecclesiastes chapter 7. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, and notice if you will in verse 15. Ecclesiastes 7 verse 15. All things have I seen in the days of my vanity. There is a just man that perisheth in his righteousness, and there is a wicked man that prolongeth his life in his wickedness. Have you ever looked out into the world and you say, how is it possible that here I am serving God and I have what seems to be little in comparison to other people who are just ungodly and they're not concerned about spiritual things. And it seems like they are prospering in the ways of the world. That just doesn't seem fair to me. Have you ever thought about that? Be careful with that thinking. God did promise that life would be fair in the eyes of man, did he? I don't remember reading a passage where it said that life would be fair. In fact, there are a lot of things in life that is not fair in the eyes of man. An aged preacher was given an interview one time. He began to talk about what is fair, what seems to be fair, what doesn't seem to be fair. And the whole interview was based on his life as a preacher and how he got started and some of the battles that he fought along life's way as a soldier of the cross. And he was just trying to remind the fellow that was doing the interview and those that would listen that life isn't fair. He said, I don't think that it's fair that when I was 25 years old and knew everything, no one cared, seemed to care about what I knew. And now that I'm 75 or however old he was, and know nothing, everybody seems to want to know what I think about everything. Life is not fair. And it's not fair. And when you think about the wicked prospering, let me suggest this to you. So what if they do? As far as materialistic things go, when Paul was writing to Timothy, he said, but godliness with contentment is what? Great gain. We need to learn to be content. We were taught about that this past week. Some very good lessons on that. And we've got to be careful about hoarding up things in this life. I know that I've taught that to you in various lessons, but when Paul was writing to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, he says, but godliness with contentment is great gain, verse 6. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall in temptation and a snare, and in many foolish and hurtful lusts which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil. For which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. I remember the Lord saying in Luke 12, verse 15, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. There's more to life than material things. In 2 Corinthians 4, 18, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen are eternal. And so, don't let that distract you from going that way when you look out and you see that the wicked are prospering. got to deal with that. We don't have to. God will deal with that. We need to keep our own self unspotted from the world. And God will sort everything else out. James chapter 1, verse 27. Ecclesiastes 12, 13 and 14, he talks about the fact that we're to fear God and keep His commandments. And the reason is given in the very last verse when he said, "For God will bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil." And so when the wicked prosper, remind yourself, "I'm going that way." But not only that, we need to remind ourselves that "I'm going that way" when the message is rejected. I don't know how many times that I've sat down in with individuals to study with them about the Bible, and I love to do that. And I'm sure many of you do as well. And at the conclusion of the study, "Are you ready to obey?" "I don't think I'm ready." Or whatever the case may be. "I know I should. I believe that. But I don't want to do that now." What are you waiting on? What are people waiting on? But don't let that be a distraction to you. Teach individuals and understand that individuals, some, not all, will reject the message. They did in the days of our Lord. You think about the times that He taught and individuals went away angry, didn't believe the things that He was saying, then there were individuals who did believe, who did obey the message that was given to them. In Acts 7, 51 through 60, we read about Stephen. Stephen was preaching to these Jews on that account. He was talking to them about Christ. And he was pretty blunt with them, as he said, "You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in ears and heart, you'd always resist the Holy Ghost as your fathers did, even so do ye. Which of the fathers have your, or the prophets have your fathers not persecuted?" And so on. What did they do? Did they obey? The Bible says when they heard these things, they gnashed on him with their teeth, they stoned him, they put him to death because of the message that he preached. Don't take it personal. And don't let it distract you from going that way. Jesus said in John 12, 48, "He that rejecteth men receiveth not my saying, has one that judgeth him. The words that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in that day." And so we need to understand that. But there's a fifth reason I want to give to you. Remind yourself that you're going that way when it all seems like it's for nothing. Hopefully, those of you who are older, you've been a member of the church for a lot of years, or have gotten better at that, of understanding that all that you do in service to God is important. Every single thing you do. I'll give you an example of that. It may be that along the way that Ethan and Brayden may decide along the way, just, I know they don't care me using them for an example. You know, that week that I spent down in Cookeville learning about how to do the work of an evangelist was just to no avail. There's just no good. But when they began to remind themselves about the knowledge that they were taught, about the instruction they were given, about the study of God's Word, the encouragement that they give to other, that they gave to other men that were there, who looked at them and were so encouraged because here was two young teenagers who decided to give up time to come and to study the Word of God for a week. It was important. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58, Paul said, "Be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Each and every time, in the letters to the seven churches of Asia, recorded in Revelation 2 and 3, the Lord would say to them, "I know thy works." And He knows yours too. He knows mine. All the way around the room, each and every one of us. All the way around. "I know thy works." And the Hebrew writer said in Hebrews 6, verse 10, that God is not unfaithful, and that He'll remember the things that we have done. He said that He's not unrighteous to forget those things, that labor of love, and so forth. "Be ye not weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not." Some versions say if you don't lose your heart. Galatians chapter 6 and in verse 9. And then the last one. Exclaim, I'm going that way. When it seems, or you've gone, the last mile of the way. I love that hymn too. When I've gone the last mile of the way. It seems like that we just cannot go another mile. Sometimes we feel that way. Mentally, physically it may seem I just cannot go anymore. Health problems, whatever the case may be. There's work for every one of us to do. So when it seems like you've gone the last mile of your way, and it seems like you've lift your hands up for the last time the work of the Lord, don't feel that way. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 11, the Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it with the ability which God giveth, that God in all things may be glorified through His Son. Whatever ability God has given you, exercise that ability in service to Him. Heaven awaits the faithful. Do you believe in a place called heaven? If I were to ask each and every one of you, would you shake or nod? You don't have to do that, but do you believe in heaven? Jesus talked about the fact that He's gone to prepare a place. Remember that? He talked to the apostles about Him. John 14, 1 through 6. One of those great Bible invitations that we have. Matthew chapter 11, 28 through 30. When the Lord said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. And ye shall find rest unto your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. The psalmist declared in Psalm 116, verse 15, precious in the sight of the Lord are the death of His saints. There's work to be done, but one of these days, we truly will have gone the last mile of the way. And until we anticipate the Lord's return, or if death takes us first, we need to always remind ourselves and exclaim, come what may, I'm going that way. What about you this morning? Are you going that way? Maybe you haven't even begun to go in the direction that you need to go yet. Maybe you're here and you're not a Christian. Why not take care of that this morning? So that you can say with those around you, I'm going that way. God wants you to do that. The question is, do you want to? And the only way to begin to go that way is to become a child of God. And you do that by hearing the gospel, believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. John 8, 24. Repent of your sins. That simply means a change of heart that results in a change of action. You're not going to live the way that you used to live. You're going to do what's right. Confess your faith in Christ before those present this morning like the eunuch did in Acts 8:37 when he said, I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And be baptized for the remission of your sins. Acts 2:38. To wash away your sins by the blood of the Lamb. Acts 22:16, Revelation chapter 1 and in verse 5. And when you do that, the Lord will add you to His church, the one that you read about on the pages of the Bible. And like the eunuch of Acts 8, you can go on your way rejoicing, knowing that if this is the last day of your earthly pilgrimage, and it may very well be, heaven will be your eternal home. But maybe you're here and you have done that. But you've turned your back on the Lord, went back out into the world of sin, and began doing things that you know that you shouldn't do. Why not repent of those things, make confession to God in prayer, like Simon was told to do in Acts the 8th chapter in 1 John 1, verse 9, the Bible says, if we confess our sins unto Him, He is faithful and just to forgive us of all sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We stand ready to help you. If you're subject to the gospel call, come forward right now.